have any competition.
May I please support Mr. Morgan and more people like the decision.
May I please support. I represent the managing conservator Hall, Mr. Jones, in this matter. Mr. Jones and his foreign wife, whose now last name is Cable, John Cable, were involved in a motion brought by Mrs. Cable to modify custody of their son Jason in the 312th District Court, Harris County, Texas. This was brought on February the 19th, 1980, and judgment was entered on February the 29th, 1980. The case was tried to a jury, and Mr. Jones was left with custody of his son. The case was appealed by Mrs. Cable to the Court of Appeals, 14th Supreme Judicial District in Houston, Texas. The 14th Court reversed the trial court and demanded it for retrial. The case is before this court this morning, and this court granted Mr. Jones' application for writ of error on his motion for rehearing. I intend to argue the 3 points that this court granted that motion on. I will refer to each point and why I believe the 14th Court was in error in reversing Judge Webb's decision. The first point that I would like to bring to the Court's attention this morning is that the 14th Court erred in this definition of time on which they based their reversal of the trial court. The 14th Court predicated this decision on the definition of time that is defined under Section 1101, subsection 3 of the family code. They stated that that definition meant and only meant parent means mother, a man as to whom the child is legitimate, or adopted mother or father, but does not include a parent as to whom the parent-child relationship is contaminated. The 14th Court failed to take into consideration the start of Section 1101, entitled Definition. In the paragraph before the numbered paragraph begins, the code says that the definition, and I quote, is used in this subtitle and subtitle C of this title, unless the context requires a different definition. I submit to the Honorable Court that the word parent is used in the context as required in 1408C1, the section concerning modification of conservatorship, requires a different definition. It requires the definition. The parent means a custodial parent. As the case of B.W.B. versus R.B.T., a 1978 Fort Worth case, it received with no reversible error. The Fort Worth case court stated, in this case, the question of material and substantial change of circumstances, open parenthesis, of the child or her custodial, from what those circumstances had been at time, B.W.B. and his wife were granted custody by the divorce judgment. The emphasis closed at sufficient degree that preservation of what might be called the status quo would be injurious to the welfare of the interested minor child, must be raised as an issue to be tried and resolved by the jury before there would be any occasion to consider the evidence concerning whether the appointment of a new and different custodian would be a powerful improvement for the child. It is clear that the possessor is conservative. That is, Mrs. Cable was not the custodian of the child in question. As Justice Greenhill told the high school class, managing conservator means the parent who has the custody. The custodian conservator cannot be the custodian of parents. The 14th Court in reversing Judge Webb's ruling neglected to consider the leading words to the definition of 1101, i.e., unless the context requires a different definition. If the parent that the legislature intended that if the circumstances require a definition that sets the continuity for the children of divorced parents to be established, that the definition we urge should be used. The Fort Worth Court refers to the status quo of the child. It's obvious that the status quo of the child can't be changed from the date of divorce simply by some action on the part of the possessory conservator. It is taken in this case. The code was amended in 1975. As the Fort Worth Court refers to, it was specifically said that there is no longer the necessity Even the rights that a child for to consider the welfare and best interest of the child, unless the parent seeking custody can face show that the continuation of the status quo would be injurious to the child. It is inconceivable to me that the possessing conservator could choose to change the status quo of either the managing conservator or the child. If the 14th Court decision is allowed to stand based on its definition of time, it will certainly defeat the purpose of what the legislature had in mind. The legislature was striving for continuity for children of divorced parents, and in fact, if the 14th Court is allowed to stand, our courts, our trial courts, will be flooded with motions to modify that will be brought by every man or woman who happens to have remarried, who happens to have remarried well to a man who makes maybe only $100,000 a year, or who simply, and I submit, wants to make a battleground of the children. That's not what this is all about. I would urge this honorable court that the word parent is used in the context of 1408C1 necessitates a different definition. And that different definition is allowed under the preamble of section 1101. The 14th Court did not allow a different definition. But in that different definition is demanded under 1408C1. Mrs. Cable, in her response to Mr. Jones' application for this writ, for this court, tells this court that the Dallas Court in Watts, a 1978 case, did refuse no reversible error, speaks directly to this issue. Your Honor, that is simply not true. The Dallas Court speaks indirectly to that issue, or in dicta. In fact, after it made its decision to reverse, the Dallas Court made a statement of what it feels, not what it based its decision to reverse on. In dicta, they made a statement. The Watts decision reversed the trial court, saying a change of custody was granted and reversed on the basis that there had been no change, that there had been a change of circumstance in the marriage of the conservator status or the status of the child. Nothing was missing in its reason for reversing the trial court. Nothing was mentioned about the possessory conservatory. Watts was reversed simply on the basis that there was nothing shown to show a change of circumstances in the mother. The mother was the managing conservatory line in the Watts case, and they said there was no change in the child since the date of divorce. But in the next paragraph, after it's made its decision, behind the wall, the court of appeal was over, they simply make a statement in this. They stated, moreover, the evidence shows a substantial change in circumstance of the father, which was not pleaded, but which may be sufficient to compile a 1408C1 of the family code. Let's confuse our decision. The Watts decision refers to the code prior to the amendment of 1975, which required only a substantial change in circumstance of the child. Now, the court prior to the change in the code concedes the question that the change of circumstance of the custodial parent as well as the child, that they refused to consider a change with respect to the non-custodial parent. The Watts decision in its dicta failed to recognize the preamble of 1101 and stated that in its view, the legislature had amended the section to read child a parent in the definition, intended some change, and that change was to include the non-custodial parent as well as the custodial parent. Since the word parent is not qualified by an adjective, the Dallas Court said, and it cites in its reason and its dicta reason, the case of Thompson versus Uzzell, which by the Tyler Court of Civil Appeals, a 1976 case, is no history. It's obvious to me in the opinion of Thompson case that a material change of circumstance was shown with regard to the managing concern of all time. The facts show that in the case. It is also shown that there had been change in possessory conservatory circumstances. But, Your Honor, the special issue that was submitted in the Thompson case mentioned nothing of the change of circumstance in the managing conservatory or of the possessory conservatory. In fact, the special issue, and I quote, did you find from the preponderance of the evidence that the circumstances of the child, Lord Glenn Thompson, had materially and substantially changed since the entry of the order of March 30th, 1973? I do not see how the Watts Court can say the definition of parent based on conscience, can lead to possessive conservative thought. Matter of fact, I don't even see how it means imagine the first call based on conscience. The speculation of moving conscience means nothing except a change of circumstance with regard to the crowd. The 14th court is incorrect in the version of George Webb's decision, especially based on their definition of conscience.
Okay.
Yes, Your Honor.
Yes, Your Honor. Mr. Wilson, Mr. Prophet says, if the circumstances of the crowd are conscience, can you just apply the managing conservator has sent?
That is correct, Your
Honor. Yes, I need you to say something about the general relations having been terminated, right?
No, Your Honor. In the definition on 1101, section 3, the definition says, can, and I'll read for the court. Yes,
what the person is that the circumstances of a non-managing conservative is immaterial.
It's immaterial on a special issue that should be submitted to the jury. We say that the special issue should say that you find from the common sense of evidence that there has been a material change of the circumstances since the divorce was granted in the child or the managing conservator. The possessive conservator at that time should not even enter into the picture. If they answer yes, there's been a change, then do you find that there's been a change with regard to possessive conservator? Do you find it would be injurious to leave the child with the managing conservator? If the managing conservator is in the same situation that he was after the divorce, and the child is in the same, how can the possessive conservator cause injury by leaving the child where the court left him to begin with? The managing conservator is still fine, ladies and gentlemen, the jury. The child is still fine, but now the possessive conservator has changed her circumstances, and by her changing her circumstances, causes injury to the child. Can you see with me how she can do that? Now, if the managing conservator has changed the circumstances, she can cause that injury to the child, but how can other parents cause the managing conservator to harm or cause injury to the child? It can't be done, man, and I don't think that's what the legislature intended in changing the statute. Changing the page in 1975.
The transfer of time is the divorce is granted in the court was examining all the facts and circumstances surrounding the to award the managing conservatorship to. He had both parents circumstances before him, didn't
he? After he was in the divorce, yes, ma'am.
No. Why shouldn't he have both of those circumstances before him in reconsideration? Because the managing conservator still has some touching in the other issues that have to be asked.
Now, the reason being, I believe, the continuity that is called with regard to this given year. If you make it simple, for all the time, just because those things come in, and every year, it can be a couple of years. They talk it, they call to the court, and they direct it to the court. So the legislature has made it difficult to change that. The trial court said, and the statute says, when you get a divorce, you fall off easy. You're not saying it's better for you to do it, it's better than the mind. The court said, you must, and the burden of proof is on the party bringing you out, the divorce is conservative. After this, the court may modify an order, a portion of the decision. The designate the managing conservator if the circumstances of the child or parent have so materially and substantially changed since the entry of the order or decree to be modified, that here, of course, I think that it's just that the retention of the current managing conservator will be injurious to the welfare of the child. How can a change in circumstances of the possessive conservator cause the retention of the managing conservator to be injurious to the welfare of the child, too? Any person can call them to confine if the change of circumstance to be found with regard to the managing conservator.
But you would admit that there's still some protection for the managing conservator when you go on to the question of whether or not there would be some passive improvement for the benefit of the child.
I don't think there's any doubt that there's protection right now. It's a true question. They might even ask if they say that there would be entry to the welfare of the child. The third step in 1408, and once the appointment of the new marriage and service ought to be a cost of improvement. This is really fine, because then an entry would be an entry to the child. If the devotion before the call would be a cause of improvement, it's still an extreme step.
That's what guidelines would be set up for the jury to determine, the fact found to determine first injury to the child. So you then compare his present situation to what it could be in a better situation, and you then say it must be worse than what the situation was when he went and served the fifth child, or just how do you got that?
I would say that it has to be different now, and different being worse than it was at the time the divorce was granted.
In other words, if you have a situation where really neither parent are fit, is fit, the judge has got to make up his mind to make one of the other names in the territory.
Yes, sir.
So the names in the territory are going to go out here to her own far away. Except the pressure of the territory, if he's there away, get to act together and straighten up, that cannot be considered in any way, and to put in whether or not
my opinion may be that, for the simple fact that if the marriage and service are stayed by the law, and you're saying both parents are terrible,
then that would fall off of that?
Yes, sir. If it's terrible, usually the terrible will get a little worse, or it'll get a little better. So usually it's not a problem. All you have to say is just a little bit of change in the marriage and service law. But what I'm saying is, it couldn't be up to the divorce from protocol to be able to change the circumstance of the marriage from protocol.
Well, I'm not concerned about the circumstance of marriage from protocol, I'm concerned about the circumstance of the child.
Yes.
And I have some difficulty in understanding how the child court could not in any way take into consideration the fact that all the children have got their act together and taken up.
It's true now, if you say that it's going to be a change of circumstance with regard to the child. So now you have the answer, aren't you? But the child circumstance to change the cause of the protocol of death. Simply that the issue cannot be there. Do you find that there's been a change in the death of the protocol? If the child circumstances are changed, yes, regardless of where the change may come from.
In other words, the family always made the protocol do what they ought to do, and then you don't get that protocol to do what you do. And there's no way to set the protocol and get in the game.
If you can't show that there's a change of circumstances with regard to the marriage of protocol time, all the time, most of you can't get past the special rule.
Counselor,
yes, ma'am.
Do you know the state of the law before 1410 was enacted by the Council for Assignment and Help us out there? I have the impression that before 1410, whatever it is. It was, as you suggest, a change in the circumstances of the person who had the child.
It also simply a best interest issue, Your Honor. The best interest of the child, the statute specifically excludes once the divorce court makes its decision.
Yeah. If the legislation intended to change the law,
in my opinion, yes, sir. And I think that the legislature intended to say that there are certain guidelines you must go by. And there's been so much confusion before. We're going to pass the statute. I think the 1408 is clear at 26 times that it means the land is covered by time.
It's still not clear to me, right?
None of the courts have ever appealed, Your Honor, with the exception of what disagrees with what I'm saying. The case in El Paso that came out the very same week that the Jones decision came out in Houston, called Agudencia, I think that's where it came out, I'm not sure, specifically rejected what?
So Agudencia, whatever it is, comes out to it?
No, sir, it has not. The Agudencia case here said that they rejected the Watts decision. Now Watts, Your Honor, all the court's attention to Watts is pure dicta. They were there because there's been no material change of circumstance, with regard to the managing the protocol channel.
I just thought the real history of the it was my design from March of 1981, did they fall for what it was, just let it go?
Thank you, they just let it go. Nothing, but nothing ever to your hands, man. But I think your case stated, part of Justice Speculation number one is submitted because it did not inquire with regard to the same circumstances of Diane Argavendia, the non-custodial county. Certainly, changing her circumstances and lifestyle might be considered with regard to whether the appointment of her as management protocol would be a positive improvement for the children. But we see no way in which her changed circumstances as a non-custodial parent would be relevant on the issue as to whether the retention of the husband as management protocol would be injurious to the welfare of the children. And that's what I'm arguing, Ron. Because the protocol can't cause injury to the children by improving her status. Yes, ma'am.
I have the impression that the literature by child psychologists and psychiatrists is fairly unanimous in placing the value of stability and continuity of a child over an important judicial response to the very leapfrogging improvement of the two divorced parents. My question is there anything in the record of this case that reflects if that is so, this feeling about as a child psychologist and certainly people who deal in this area of living?
In the record of the John State
case, yes.
I'm sure that the record reflects now that I argue that continuity is important. Nothing with regard to psychologists testifying. There were two experts who testified. One, Your Honor, that examined the child Jason from 6 to 7 months, approximately an hour before the trial of the case. And then an expert that testified that hadn't examined the child, but that it would be impossible to say what's good for the child right now. And it would be impossible to say an hour examination where there's been no change with regard to the status quo of the child, but it would be good for the child to change. There was nothing specifically, Your Honor, in this case. All the other cases in law, matter of fact. In this paragraph here, it said, we reversed before we went to a district, said the status quo, continuity is important. And that they believed that that was what could happen for the child, or for the children of the case.
Maybe my question is, if there's nothing in the record about the literature or belief of the so-called expert.
No. Not to my knowledge. With regard to our third point of the court, doesn't speak to it before it's reversed the 14th court on the first 2 points. And that's called the court's attention. But Mr. Lilly did not properly object to the submission of Special Issue Number 1, as required by Rule 274 of the Texas Rules of Civil Procedure. The 14th Court summarily objected to our point of error and stated, Mr. Lilly tendered an issue in substantially correct wording which the court refused, and that he objected to the issue submitted by the court as required by Rule 274. I'd like to call the court's attention the Bailey v. Carter, an Austin court decision in 1980, writ refused as May of Earth, it specifically stated, Your Honor, it is not enough to submit the correct form of a special issue. An objection must be made to the issue as submitted. Mr. Lilly made no objection. I'd like to call the court's attention. It may be in Mr. Lilly's response to our application for writ of error that he quotes the statement he made concerning the court approving the submission of our special issue. Special issue says, what the claims and answers have for the trial which could be considered by a jury. Mr. Lilly alleged objection. He judged where the specific question, which is what is objection to the charge, that if he would judge the most submit to the jury would be. Mr. Lilly replied, and I quote totally what he said. Yes, Your Honor. The issue refers to the possessory conservatory. I am trying to tighten it down closely. There are such issues of possessory conservatory by themselves, and by referring to the special issue, the one that is filed among the papers here marked refused, And today's date, we have tied it down. End quote. That's Mr. Lilly's alleged objection. The special issue is court law procedure. They have said the case is that way alone won't do it. And the case is pretty much said that all the way through. The record in no way indicates what Mr. Lilly was complaining of. Mr. Lilly gives Judge Webb no hint of what his objection to the special issue that was being submitted might be. He did not follow the theory of rules he said before, nor even follow it technically. 274 requires that a party objecting to a charge must point out distinctly the matter to which he objects and the grounds of his objection. He did not fulfill this requirement. Case Bag Company vs. Longoria, our Waco court in 1931, Richard Smith, said to effect such purpose, counsel's objections to charge should be specific, constructive, and helpful. They should be in such form as to enable the court to readily understand their scope and meaning and enable him, if necessary, to modify his charge in the light thereof. Your Honor, Mr. Lilly's objection is no objection at all. He may argue that our domestic relations court don't follow the rules of evidence here closely. I agree. They don't make it to here to it. I don't know. But they do follow, and they, of course, it's said they must follow the technical rules. 274 is not a rule of evidence, it's a technical rule. Sadly, there's ordinance 363 Southwest 2nd, 784, Amarillo Court, 1962, is no real history. Back me up on that. Mr. Lilly did not properly object. The 14th Court was incorrect in the voting. And I believe this court should reverse the 14th Court on all three points that you granted our will.
Thank you, Captain. The argument is Ms. Thomas.
If there aren't any changes, then there should not even be a consideration of injurious retention. If there are changes, you get to the second child, which is injurious retention. If you meet that burden, then you get to the third problem of positive improvement, and that is the true best interest test. And the court has repeatedly urged that the threshold injury must be established and considered before the best interest test can be considered, which is different, obviously, from the burden of proof that you have in custody situation at the time of divorce. The protection is, as Mr. Moore pointed out, and the court has repeatedly pointed out, to preserve the stability and the continuity in the life of the plaintiff. But if there is a harm, if there is an injurious situation, a detrimental environment to the child, why should the child be penalized because that situation may have existed at the time of the divorce? That's what the last court was addressing. When it interpreted the use of the word penalty in 1408, it said that the legislature intended to change the meaning of the statute when it amended it in 1975. That the circumstances of the possession and conservatory were valid and should be considered along with the changes in circumstances of the manager conservatory. Not that that in and of itself is sufficient to change custody, because in the last case it wasn't sufficient to change custody. But it doesn't mean that it should therefore be disregarded and excluded and not considered by the prior fact. There is another case that has considered the issue after the last decision, which Mr. Moore did not refer to, that case being in the interest of owners. The Anglin case expressly appeals the last decision, saying there are circumstances where changes in the possession or conservatory may in fact be sufficient to support a modification under 4. It went one step further. It outlines certain guidelines of what type of conduct, what type of improvement in the life of the possession or conservatory could in fact be considered. In that case, the wife and the mother had been an alcoholic at the time of the prior custody litigation. Thereafter, she joined Alcoholics Anonymous, she had threatened other lives, she had remarried, was stable in a home environment, was not employed outside of the home, and had daytime hours, quality hours, to spend with the child. Now, absent an injurious situation to the child, granted, that isn't enough. But it is a factor that the trial court, judge or jury, should be able to consider in reaching the question of injurious retention.
Wouldn't they consider that in answering the question of possible treatment? Wouldn't that all be relevant in that question once they pass the first two issues?
It would, Your Honor, if in fact they got the positive
decision. I'm saying that. A more injurious situation, then they couldn't be in the position of the two parents.
I understand that, but the point that I want to draw to the attention is that in this situation, the change in circumstance of the possessory conservator does not alter the situation of the managing conservator. Mr. Moore is arguing that it's inconceivable to assert that by cleaning up her act, so to speak, she could somehow create an injurious environment for the family. But the whole story that they defended this case upon was that it was filed before and it's no worse now. There was a lady friend on the screen with the father at the time of the divorce. At the time of the modification hearing, there was the same lady friend on the screen. That in and of itself, as far as the managing conservator or the panel, is not a change of circumstance, so the jury finds. But that doesn't mean that situation is not injurious or detrimental or harmful to the panel. Your previous question about whether or not there was expert testimony concerning the impact of that on the child, there were two experts that testified. Dr. Evans was called on behalf of Mrs. Kegel and did testify that that living arrangement, the cohabitation without the benefit of marriage, was having an impact on the child. It's interfering with the child's stability.
How old is that?
I believe that at the time of the modification, the child was 6 years old. And as the child grows older, say, for example, that at the time of divorce, the child is 3 or 4 years old, cohabitation concept is not going to be true for him. As he approaches school age and is involved in school, there are certain factors that he becomes aware of. He understands that something is different in his household from another household, and it's not mommy and daddy, it's daddy and somebody else. And what the expert testimony in this case was, is that that can have a damaging effect and not have a damaging effect on the child. Which is the injurious retention argument. Our point being that there is nothing in the statute or in the code that requires a conditioning element that the injurious retention must be qualified in the circumstances of the managing conservator. What I'm arguing is that the trial should not be penalized for a situation in which there was a problem or difficulty that existed at the time of the divorce.
Consequently, the issue that the judge asked was, in case of an inquiry, whether the circumstances of the child or the circumstances of the management conservator had materially and substantially changed. Does not the fact that the child grows older becomes more perceptive? Does not that include, is not that a change of circumstance that would be embraced within and would include this problem you just mentioned about the child growing older and realizing that his body is living out of wedlock?
That is a change in circumstances with regard to the child. However, the court has repeatedly held that the mere aging of the child is going to be insufficient. And as it was repeatedly argued and as was pointed out in our response to the application for the writ, repeatedly Mr. Moore argued that they were not to take into consideration anything except what Jason and Jason were doing at this point in time. And that existed at the time of the writ. That kind of effect on the jury was harmful. To the extent that they believed that they were not able to consider anything that they thought in their mind that the cohabitating female was on the street at the time of his divorce, and that's what they believed. Lastly, and I will turn my attention at this point to the preservation of argument, and Mr. Miller will conclude on the threshold inquiry, but I urge the court to look at one case that Mr. Moore mentioned in his argument to you in the office of application for the writ, and that's the case Barrington case, where it goes to the purpose of the rules of the preservation of error and to assert the objections at the time that the charge is submitted. Obviously, the purpose is to draw to the judge's attention what the complaint is. At a point in time, and he can rectify it. Well, he can alter and make the charge as correct as possible and not have appear by anger and complain for the first time that there is an error in the charge. There can be no question that Judge Webb knew what the objection was. There were only three issues submitted to the jury. There was only one issue that even had any discussion whatsoever. We did submit, Mr. Lilly did submit, in writing, the requested issue with recipes. And the only difference between the issue that was submitted by Mr. Lilly and the issue that was actually submitted was the phrase, material change of circumstances which was applied to the possession of conservatives. And Judge Webb, when he reached the same time when he was calling for objections to be made to the charge, he specifically said, what is your objection, referring to Mr. Lilly, to that particular special issue? That particular special issue, knowing that there was only one that there was any dispute about, only one that there was any conversation about it at. Mr. Miller's objection was costly to Judge Webb. It was known to Mr. Miller and everybody else in the room that the difficulty was the elimination of the changing circumstances with regard to the possession of conservatism. Mr. Moore is correct that the courts have always relaxed the rules with regard to custody proceedings in an attempt to protect the paramount interest of the child. That's always the purpose in a custody case, different perhaps from a court or a contract case. I urge the court to take that into consideration. The Fourteenth Court found that the objection Mr. Lilly made was sufficient, and I urge to you this morning that it was in fact sufficient because it put everyone on notice as to what the objection was to do. And if in fact you find it necessary to resist the Court of Civil Appeals for any reason in this case, I inform you to please do it in an area where we are living off from law with regard to how 1408 is to be interpreted in order to continue to protect the children, to protect the very parties in issue in custody cases, and to protect Jason Jones so that at the point in time if this is relitigated and the opinion of the Court of Civil Appeals stands and is remanded, that we will have some guidance on how the issues are to be presented to the jury. I defer at this point to the law.
Mr. Lilly, counsel, I'm a little problem with jurisdiction by court in this case. We have no understanding of jurisdiction of divorce cases. tradition where that is included. Staff customized. Is there any views on that?
I question the jurisdiction and the risk of the liberal and controlling property correctly. This court must come together with a very challenging question. I don't think it's interpreted the way.
My purpose here is that this is still a divorce case that is final in the court of appeal, unless there is a conflict of decision, and you think there may be.
That is the only way this court would have jurisdiction in this case, Your Honor. I think it could be decided, but I think I'm trying to cut it down here. But I would like to do that something. I can take the position that there is no jurisdiction, and I would like to do it as a relation of advocacy standpoint. But I would prefer at this point, since I am before this court, to take that time to often discuss. I would just like to extend the 10 to 15 years I have and talk about what's going on in this case and what 1408-21 meant, what it meant before, what it means now, and just what happened when the death has settled in this case. And just to a big number, and I will try to come back to that if you get this one.
Thank you. That's a question that the Chief Justice asked the plaintiff's person. Do you feel that the climate code sends the
I absolutely feel that this is changed, and I also believe in one of the few ways I know it.
I don't have any present to your court, or to the court at this time, but I feel like it's all set. Primarily, to me, would mean first. I'm going to get it to you first, and if you don't qualify, then I'm going to get it to somebody else. That seems to me to be good. Also, I think we need to address ourselves just briefly. I've got
You
talking about the bank discussion?
Yeah.
It still has discussion of what to do with the principal as to whether or not.
Oh, how in this does it not have discussion with
the person? No, it could. I think even on the list, this is talking about the income from the trust and not the principal of the trust. I think that the bank would go further and add part of the principal to that distribution if it's so desired. The debt is not required to do that. But going back to the intent of the trustee, so as the court found it to be from the evidence that he heard, he found that he intended all of the income to be distributed, but maybe not the principal except in the discretion of the trustee. Yes, sir. There is that language in the
will.
To make that distribution. That's correct. Based on that terminology, that is correct. But based on what he heard, he found that the language used, which is that the trustee intended for the income to be distributed and perhaps not to transfer. That's what the rule says.
But the staff says
that it was actually in the will.
That is correct. That is very kind. If you have any other question, I'd leave you to comment about it.
I'd like to one other comment. Yeah. If a friend of ours gets to the country, the establish the intent to keep trying to bring it in.
I think it is, John. I think it is.
And let's just to set it up. If it was not on your list and it's going to go on to a 9 hour 10 minute to make it, then you think, I just heard my question.
No, sir. I think this court's opinion with the Stewart case, and I think that is the highest position that the Stewart case controls, the 1971 case controls, when it says, case preceded by the Hawkscroft case. Hawkscroft case, for example, says the cardinal principle is the
absolutely feel that this case, and I also made in one of the few notes I made against ideas that can't bring it. In one of the few notes that I did make, I pointed out that if you look at the word parent, pre-1975, it was just through the circumstances of God. And here's what I have to offer. It doesn't say custodial person. It doesn't say, as the Court of Civil Appeals in their opinion suggested, if they wanted to put marriage in purgatory, they would have put marriage in purgatory. It says parent. And it doesn't even say custodial person. In other words, a grandparent who is not being parent. If you want to really think about it from a philosophical standpoint, what the court, what the legislature.
It's indefeasible to me. Things in the status of grandparents. Man had gotten religion, had gone to church, and they hit all off, therefore the grandparents can change the custody.
And Your Honor, that's why they can't. That's why parent doesn't mean grandparent or agency. It means parent because the emotional trauma of divorce, exactly what happened in the James case and in the Watts case. Now we know the facts in the Watts case, and we know the facts in the Taylor case. And what they had was a situation where J.P. Jones was in a financial position to take care of my baby. There were other factual issues, and you had a lady who was dying. She had no money, or very little money, but very little to any property settlement, and she allowed, by agreement, Mr. Jones to retain custody. Now, he was living with that lady at that time. It was a sad situation and a sad state of affairs. But parents see things in the emotional trauma of the divorce, and perhaps in sexual litigation. And the legislature perhaps realized the importance of a child subsequently saying, heaven, look what's going on, look what I allowed to happen. And does come into a situation like John Cable did, as the priest in that case offered. She did get married, she did improve herself, she did become economically stable and environmentally stable. And all that evidence came in. The answer to Justice Stewart's question, the only evidence from any psychologist was ours. Dr. Abram testified that it wasn't just a matter of environment, that it would be a positive improvement. We got past the threshold requirement. The only expert they had at the last day was called a hypothetical question, one hypothetical question to Dr. John Lester. I submit to this court that some of what Mr. Moore said is absolutely correct. Absolutely correct from the standpoint that a non-custodial parent can't change in itself the environment of the custodial parent and the child. But here's what we have on one side. We have Watts versus Abbruzio and Cable versus Abbruzio. And if this court suggests that the use, as it was in the Watts case, of narcotics and other gifts, terribly immoral activities that were going on, if that may continue, even though at the time the non-custodial parent was not in a position to deal with it, when the non-custodial parent becomes in a position to help that child, the environment is detrimental, is harmful to the child. How can we sit and say that we should allow that to continue because technically the word parent may not mean non-custodial parent? Although I feel in my mind and my heart, parent is parent. There's no distinguishing factors they could have suggested custodial parent if they wanted custodial parent.
I'm with you up to that point. We say that parent includes both the mother and the father. I'm looking now at the spouse. And the spouse, this is the part of the spouse that was supposed to be moved. At the circumstances of the child at times, at the mother or father, has their maturity changed, quote, that the retention of the present managing conservator, now that's the point, would be injurious to the welfare of the child. In other words, it would be essential, I should think, as a threshold matter for you to prove and get a finding that a retention of the present management conservator would be injurious to the child. Not that it would be advantageous, but
absolutely, in a separate issue in itself. If you can't show harm, if you can't show injurious intention, you can't win. John Cooper never got to that point.
We don't know if you are, the principle of that would be injurious to the child.
No, it isn't. It changes circumstances. Quickly, it changes circumstances on the part of the child or the manager of the state. Second, and third, it's committed to the state time. The second issue is, if you find a change on the custodial parent or the child, then do you find that the intention would be helpful to the child. I am not suggesting, as you possibly suggest, and I think it would be foolhardy. It would be foolhardy to suggest anything but the state parent test must be found. You must be able to show a significant change of circumstances to even get into the issue. You must then, if you can't support a very challenging change of circumstances, you must then be able to get to the issue of time by child and children. If you fail one or you fail two, you don't get positive opinion, and you must also be able to fail two. If the child, J.C. Jones, was found in this case, and if the management conservator was found, as Mr. Moore has suggested, then Sharon Cooper would have lost with the right of saving very personal decisions. They could have found very easily in the first circumstances of the clear fact work by chance, but still the present environment, and let's remember that the Thomas Carr who was still living with the unmarried adult children, related. It's still going on at the time of trial, but the jury still could have found that wasn't passed if for some reason they weren't secure. And yet they still have a chance to do it. I simply urge this court to not consider ever the possibility of litigation because of the changes of the marriage of the conservator to ultimately marry anyone, more or less human. When you have that situation, if this court does not say that the court will never be understood, if the person is considered to have the reason in the house, the district, or the state, you have to court to exclude them, the court will be very important to entire reason, so when the judge has to be the reason, the judge may not say it's not. It's not just a reason.
Testimony is the truth of what the Thank you. I think it's a two-way street. I mean, they would have the very same right. Now, the fact of the situation with us being in the nursing home and them being there with the husband has reversed those roles.
Well, Councilman, I don't want us to lose sight of the ball is jurisdiction. Now, do I understand you to interpret Council's position to be that the probate court does not have jurisdiction because this suit was instituted by the surviving widow? Wait, I finish my question. Whereas the probate court would have jurisdiction if the temporary administrator had sought the injunctive relief. Now, he may or may not have said that, but are you interpreting him as saying that?
I wrote it down when you said that. I'm saying the statute doesn't say that. And it's just like in the case that when someone comes in and says one of these enumerated items with agreement on the terms in one of those, specific like a lien, a property, or something of this nature, when those parties come in, they're entitled to bring an action in court and have the court take whatever action deems appropriate, and they're not closed with official status. There's no third party. They're not even a one of the parties advancing a will, which we are. We're before the court, and admittedly have an interest in either will. So I think we clearly have standing, particularly in the Texas law, where under the Potter case, the husband and that husband has the right to come in on a tenancy in common place. Why is that one peculiar to somebody?
Do we have any pleadings in this case raising the question of standing?
No, Your Honor, there's pleadings attaching the court's jurisdiction.
The oral submissions for the day, and the marshal will adjourn the court.
No.